Welcome, everybody. Let's stand, shall we? Open in prayer for prayer and the Word. Heavenly Father, the privilege to have a Bible in our hands that's filled with the story of life and creation. It's amazing, this book. And Lord, you are amazing in that. You are the creator of all things. And you are amazing in your mercy and love toward us. Tonight, Lord, as we open your word, prepare our hearts, and then guide us through the teaching of your word and how we're to pray tonight, Lord. That we may pray according to the leading of your Holy Spirit, all that we do. Father, this is an amazing evening where we enter into your very presence, pray, and Lord, then you do the work by the power of your might and the wonder of your name. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Let's do something different while you're standing. Please come and grab a card, say hello, then go back and have your Bibles then ready to go through 1 John. 1 John. Hebrews, James, John. James, Peter, John. Jude. No picking and choosing. Hey, Marty, how you going? And just take a seat, take a seat. Open your Bibles, please, to 1 John. 1 John. I'm going to try and get through the next 5 verses. How do you explain God to somebody? Well, you don't go, well, this is what I feel God is like. Or this is what I think God is like. You go to the Bible because it tells you what God is like. 1 John has been doing that. The mind and question of a child are beautiful, unique, and powerful. But the questions of a child never really disappear. They don't go away. They remain deep within our hearts. What really happens is those inbuilt deep questions you had as a child are buried. They lay there. I often heard someone say, well, I used to wonder that as a child too, you know. I've always thought about, from a child I've wondered about that. Often they're buried by criticism, abuse and cruelty of others we came in contact with as we grow. Oh, that's just child. Don't even think about that. They're buried also by the risk of being considered foolish, weird, or not quite with it. I remember one was rain. I thought when it rained here, it rained everywhere in the world. I couldn't fathom that when I found out we'd moved somewhere by car and the road wasn't wet. I thought, how does that happen? Or the rain has just been here and not over there. How does that happen? But the questions that we have, they remain dormant, viable within our soul, simply covered over with dust, time, and the refuse of life. Questions unanswered like, what is God like? What are his characteristics? How can I know God? How can I know God? Not know about him, but how can I know him? The old catechism says, we are made to know God, calling this man's chief end. The trouble is, many people only know about God, but they sadly do not know him. This is why I love the Bible and the study of the Bible. It answers all my deepest questions. It fills the cavities of my deepest desires. It tells me not just how to know God, but it, with the majestic power of the Holy Spirit, draws me to know God personally. I know Him as my Savior. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I know Him intimately. I know His voice. I sense His touch. I know Him wonderfully. I know Him amazingly. This evening, in our God-breathed text, John answers our deepest question. What is God? Explain God to me. Let's read from verse 5. No, let's go from verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested. We have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He came and dwelt amongst us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship, koinonia, with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John 17 is a beautiful passage to read in regard to verse 3. These things we write to you. Why I've written this is that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. As seemingly, as we read through this quickly, a mixture of things. What's this mean? What's it about light? And I thought, Christians, we don't have sin, and then we don't say we don't have sins, we're liars, and what is this about? John proclaims to us that God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. John told us last week that he has seen, heard, and touched Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. But now John is going to reveal Jesus' message to us. What is this message? God is light. This is not some Eastern religious thing that, you know, you look into the candle and, you know, if you meditate for so long, you'll see the nirvana, you see this mysterious light. That's not what he's talking about. David wrote in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." He said, "You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment." Isaiah said, "I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." Speaking to Israel. Light in every mention here represents an image of God. Why light? Because God is light. He is the true source of revelation, intelligence, stability, excellence, and growth. It is God's nature. God is light. That's His nature. And He desires as light to make Himself known to us. That's what light does. It shows us everything, reveals to us. Because God is light, it is His nature to reveal Himself, as it is the property of light to shine. It shines. The Gnostics, remember, this is what John was arguing against. The all-knowing ones, the secluded ones, the secret ones who only they knew God, and they didn't know and believe in Jesus. The Gnostics were saying only select people, spiritual people, could ever know God. During the Dark Ages, if you ever read the history of the church, there's a period of the Dark Ages where the local people, the lay people, as they would use that term, which I don't find anywhere in the Bible, but the have-nots were not allowed to read the Bible. It was called the Dark Ages. Only the priests, only they could come and be around where the altar is, where communion is. This is why John says, and in him is no darkness at all. Throughout the Bible, and even intellectually, light is always seen as truth. Oh, that shone the light on the matter. And darkness is always seen as ignorance and error. God revealed himself in the law. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:23. And the prophets describe God as the light. Simeon, you remember when Jesus was taken to Simeon as a little child. And Simeon took Jesus in his arms. He's about 8 days old in the temple. And he blessed God as he looked at little Jesus. Luke 2:29, and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. Let me die according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. John says that there is no dark side to God. There's a dark side to the moon. Very popular album made by Pink Floyd. But there's no dark side to God. There is nothing negative about God. Oh, but God says, no, he's not. John's going to go later on and say God is love. James tells us in James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. He's not like us. We're moody and grumpy one day and a little bit happier the next. Oh, you know, out of the wrong side of the bed. No, God's never like that. Neither shadow of turning. He never changes. I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. But light is not only God's character to reveal himself. God is light, which symbolizes his righteousness, God's purity and his holiness. John 3:19, and the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, Jesus Christ. But people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. Jesus came to expose sin, because he's the light. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. When a man or a woman or a boy or a girl comes into God's presence, the truth is revealed. Nothing is hid. It's what the word does. It's a two-edged sword. It opens us up. It's the woman at the well who Jesus says, you had had 5 men, and the one you're with now is not your husband. Isaiah 6, Isaiah the prophet writes, it was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne. He has this image of the Lord, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were the mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, with 2 they flew. They were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Isaiah said, it's all over, I'm doomed. For I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. What does this mean to us, that God is light? It means that those who follow Christ are said to be children of light. Isaiah looked into the mirror of God and it was revealed. Romans chapter 3, if you want to know what you're like, your old life is like, what your old like, it's like, to me, it's always the great x-ray chapter of the Bible, Romans 3. It tells me the power of my tongue, what it can do if I let it go. It tells me the power of my mind if I let my thoughts run away. It tells me what I'm capable of as a sinful man. It's who I really am. But those who follow Christ, who come to the light, who step out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, Colossians, says those who follow Christ are said to be children of light. John 12, 36. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. 1 John 1, 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What does that mean? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The Gnostics claimed to know God, but their way of living revealed their claim erroneous, false, for they lived in darkness, secluded, cultish, for they did not know Jesus. They had an easy grace, Gnostics. In other words, their claimed fellowship with God came at no cost. They could live as they pleased. Their morals were loose. Their lives were ungodly in their living. And that's why John says in verses 6, 8, and 10, he says, if we say, three times. Let's look at 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say, verse 8, that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. If you say one thing, John says, and live another, John says you're a liar. This is brutal. 1 John is the most amazing, little, powerful slide rule of God that measures out truth from error so quickly. He says, if you say one thing and live another, John says you're a liar and you are deceiving yourselves. Jesus said, many will say on that day that He returns, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name and done this, cast out demons, done many wonders in Your name? And He says, I'll declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, Jesus went on to say from that passage, does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. John tells us, you cannot claim to have fellowship with God, to be a Christian, whilst at the same time you are living a lifestyle that is unrighteous. That's the problem of the Western church today. It's cheapened grace. It's removed holiness from the walk of God. You, John says, are walking in darkness. People who do that. What does that mean? It means that you sin habitually. You've not changed. The light's not in you. You're still living as if nothing had happened, because nothing has happened. You're practicing sin. You're still angry like you were. You're still living immorally like you were. You're still thinking the same way that you were. Your life is made up of a lifestyle that practices sin. It's everyday life. You just live like someone who was not a Christian. We can't tell the difference. There's no difference between you and someone who does not know God. You can claim much by your talk. Oh, I go to church. I have a Bible. But it is your walk that reveals whether your talk has any merit, any truth to it. You cannot claim to know God while at the same time treat sin lightly. That's a big worry for me. When people want to ask, well, is it all right if a Christian How far can a Christian, what's the line? Where's the cutoff point? You really want to know? Are you still a Christian if? You see, you cannot claim to know God while at the same time treat sin lightly or the need to live right before God as unimportant. Doesn't really matter. Unnecessary. Oh, God will forgive me. Secondly, John says, you cannot claim to be a follower of Christ and not desire to have fellowship with other Christians. Wow. Verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It is this fellowship, remember, John shared in the earlier verses, that reveals we know God. That is evidence of our Christianity. When we have both the vertical fellowship with God and the horizontal fellowship with other Christians. The Gnostics claim to have fellowship with God, but their false claim was revealed by their separation from other Christians. Jehovah's Witnesses is a classic example. It's just them. Nobody else. They're the 144,000. It's just them. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, the Bible says. John also says in this same verse that believers who walk in the light will find the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ available to them for continual cleansing. Now, is that a contradiction? As first reading it, you go, well, hang on a minute. Aren't we cleansed once and for all? Didn't Jesus just do that? Why does anyone who already walks in the light need cleansing? They're Christians. Are they not already cleansed? Let me explain this clearly to you. John is merely saying that Christians, those who are truly walking in the light, not living a life where they are habitually practicing sin, will find forgiveness always when they stumble or fall. Did you make a mistake today? You love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Have you made a mistake? Did you have a wrong thought? You planned to come home and say to your wife, she was lovely, you brought some flowers, and you come home and something went wrong, or something this and you said, didn't go well. You ever made a mistake? You know, you just missed the mark. That's why John says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the second false teaching John denies that the Gnostics were teaching is that in Christians, sin has been eradicated. Let me explain. There are no perfect Christians on this planet. There are millions of forgiven Christians whom God views, however, as perfectly forgiven and clean in his eyes because of Christ's precious blood covering them and his death having paid for all their sin, our sin, your sin. But we still stumble. We still make mistakes. We still sadly sin. Not habitually. Without any concern, it doesn't matter. I just speak the truth. I call a spade. No, you're just rude. It's just how I am. No, you're not. If you're born again, you've changed. Yeah, you can stumble, but you're not that way all the time. You see, when we sin, here's the deal. Here's the difference. When a Christian sins, it troubles us. Troubles us. Drives you to God. God, forgive me. Honey, forgive me for what I said. Forgive me, son, for the way I spoke to you. Forgive me for the way I lost my temper then. Will you forgive me? It drives you to God's mercy and his grace seeking forgiveness. Hebrews 4 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, talking to Christians, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help when? In time of need. That's what a marriage needs, grace. Have you got a perfect marriage? It needs grace. It's two sinners forgiven, living with God, but they both need to go to the Lord at times and say, we're both wrong. That's why the table of communion is a blessed gathering for you and I. So what do we do when we fail God? We're so disappointed with sin, we said or thought or did the wrong thing, and it deeply troubles us if we confess our sins. That's all you have to do. Is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When the prodigal son came home, Dad didn't go, idiot, gone. Don't even bother. You got what you wanted. Don't come back here. Don't come back expecting just to slop back where you were. You see, we confess our sin and God is faithful and just. Two words, we'll look at those. Faithful and just in forgiving it and us. Why does John use faithful and just? How is God faithful? How is God just? He's faithful. God has promised to forgive sin when it's confessed to him. He is ready to forgive, the psalmist says. He's willing and ready to forgive us. That's where David was wrong with his son, wasn't he? Remember the son come home? And for 2 years he didn't even allow his son to see his face, Absalom. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red with crimson, they shall be as wool. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God says, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Jeremiah 31:34. God promised he would forgive us. He's faithful. He's just as well. God punished our sin in Christ. Jesus became the propitiation for our sins. He met what was needed. Meaning, by him, God's wrath against us, our sin was satisfied. Payment was paid in full. It's finished. 1 John 1:10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. John says no one can ever claim to have never ever sinned. John has told us that if you're a true Christian, not just a professor to be, then you will show the characteristics of one who walks in the light and your life will be vastly different from those who do not know God and walk in darkness. You just can't mouth that you're a Christian. It should be seen in how you live. The light should be seen. How will we know this? You won't practice sin habitually. You don't do what you normally used to do every day. You change the way you live habitually because you're a new person. Your desire to have fellowship. People who go, oh, I'm not going to church. I kind of wonder, because John's going to get really bold later on and go, what, you don't want to have fellowship? And he's saying it right off the cuff here. If you're a believer, you desire to have fellowship with other believers. There's this connection. When you travel and you bump into a Christian, isn't it awesome? You meet someone surfing, is it a fellow Christian or and the golf, not many Christians playing golf, probably Jim, I don't know. Free Metal Dockers, every time there's 30,000 of us. Oh, gracious and forgiving. Suffering. Long suffering. But you see, you desire to have fellowship with other Christians. You really do. You look forward to it. When you're away, you miss them. Because what happens? They become family. Your family now. Isn't that what happens? You have family of blood, but what happens is believers become closer to you, don't they? It's not just the casual attendance. You will long to live a holy life, and when you stumble, you will seek God's forgiveness. You'll be concerned about it. And you'll desire to please Him. Your life will reflect an increased passion to eliminate such sins from your walk. You're tired of sinning that way. You don't want to. That's, Lord, help me to get rid of that. Help me to cut it off. If God is your light, and you're walking in His light, you'll be growing spiritually, because light causes growth. God's Word, the Bible, will continue to become more and more precious to you, for God is revealed in it, and He speaks to you through it. You long for His voice and His presence. You really love reading the Bible, getting alone, because it's God speaks to you. And finally, you'll find your passion and desire to serve Him growing ever more, because you just are overwhelmed by what He's done for you. You just want to do whatever you can to please Him, because you know who He is. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Now as we pray, Lord, I ask that You will guide our prayers now, Father. Lead us by Your Holy Spirit. This is a moment, Lord, You've brought us collectively together. You know who would be here. You know the thoughts that would be on our hearts. Lord, now change our thoughts. Let them be Your thoughts. Help us lay aside those things that weigh us down now. And Father, speak to us tonight as we pray. This we ask in Jesus' name. Let's pray over the cards.